Welcome to NTTA's first podcast, and certainly thank you for listening. I'm your host, Michael Ray, NTTA's Media Relations Manager. In each episode of these podcasts, we'll talk with experts inside and outside our organization to explore some innovations, best practices, other topics related to transportation. In today's episode, we're going to focus on innovation and ways that we're keeping you safe when you commute on NTTA roadways. Our guests are Eric Hemphill. He's NTTA's Director of Traffic and Incident Management. Tim Grix, who manages our Safety Operations Center. Sometimes we, around the offices, just call it the SOC. And Kareem Williams, who oversees NTTA's free, and I emphasize free, roadside service program, oddly enough called Roadside Safety Services. Sometimes we call that RSS. They're going to share some of the things that our teams do behind the scenes to keep everybody safe on the road, both you, the driver, the customer, and our staff as well. We want you to get help fast if you ever encounter car trouble or any other problem on one of our roads. They're also going to explore with us what big innovations are on the horizon to help prevent wrong-way crashes specifically, and other things as well. Eric Hemphill has been with the NTTA for more than 13 years now, and before he was the Director of Traffic and Incident Management, he served as the Assistant Director of Infrastructure Engineering, and he's also the Assistant Director of Maintenance Operations and the Director of Maintenance, or has been in the past at NTTA. And before joining NTTA 7 years ago, been 7 years already, Tim Grix, more than 20 years working in law enforcement, and he is a U.S. Army veteran, proudly serving. Kareem, also an Army veteran. He served for more than 10 years as a military police officer and a transportation specialist before he joined NTTA a little more than 5 years ago. So welcome. We appreciate having you all aboard.
It's great being here. Thank you.
Well, let's dive right into it because I think people always gravitate to what's new. So when you look at what you do every day and what you're planning to do in the future, what are some of the trends that you're seeing, some of the innovations that you're testing out to see if they'll work? And when, if ever, do you plan on rolling out some new things at NTTA?
So, guys, I'll go ahead and take this question. So we're working on a few things right now. We have on the roads, orange pavement markings. So one of our big things, not only incident management, is also work zone safety. You know, about every 12 minutes, somebody's injured or killed in a work zone. And so that's a big part of us helping to reduce crashes. So one thing we implemented as part of the Sam Rayburn Tollway expansion, we're actually doing orange pavement markings. And we put them on the road. We're the first ones to use a material known as thermoplastic. It sounds fancy, but it really is just melted plastic that's colored with glass beads in it to make it reflective. And so part of the experiment, we went and asked people. We said, hey, what do you think about the orange pavement markings? And we found that 85% of the people that drove through them were more aware of a construction zone. And 72% of them helped say they stayed in their lane better because of it. So right off the bat, the orange pavement markings are helping us increase worker safety because as people come into a work zone, they see the orange markings, they stay in their lane, they slow down and pay attention. So that's been a big thing so far. We do look to plan to expand it because we're working on an experiment basis from the Federal Highway Administration. We're working closely with them to share the results and stuff, but we do hope to expand it into future projects as the material becomes available because we are the first ones using this type of material. We have to use it. We have to get it as needed. And so we hope it becomes part of the market and become part of what just comes into work zones. So, but a few other things. You mentioned wrong-way driver crashes earlier. We've got some innovations in our thermal camera imaging using heat signatures to detect a wrong-way driver, and we can talk about that a little more as we go with what Tim does and how he helps us on that. But over 20 locations on a roadway now have these thermal cameras that see the heat signature, go through a box, and they alert our SOC, as you mentioned. But we also have been tying signs to loop detections. So everywhere we have a tolling gantry, we have a wrong-way driver detection system built in based on the loops in the ground.
What exactly is a loop? That sounds interesting.
So a loop, if you've ever slowed down at a traffic signal and you see those little squares cut in the ground, you see the little squares cut in the ground as you approach a traffic signal, it's the very same technology. It is basically a wire that's wrapped around that loop, and it detects, it uses magnetic fields to detect cars. And so we use those loops to detect cars for our tolling operations already. What we were able to do is reprogram them. So if you go through the right direction, they activate the tolling cameras and tell us there's a car there. If you go the wrong direction, we can pick you up going the wrong direction because the loops are spaced out on the roadway. So when that wrong direction goes, we detect your car going, it sends an alert to our SOC. We've been able to tie that now. So once it also sends an alert to the SOC, it sends an alert to some signs that are facing the wrong way to start flashing at the person coming the wrong way to get their attention to hopefully pull them over. So we're always innovative, though, always continuing to look for new things as we go. Even with our RSS trucks, we've been looking and modifying different things. So
let's circle back. Again, we use the acronyms quite a bit around NTTA, the Safety Operations Center. We call it SOC for short, and I think you just showed us how we do that. Tim, what is the SOC? What's it look like in there, and how do you make us all safer within the SOC?
Well, the Safety Operations Center, we currently have 16 workstations that are manned, and we face a video wall that has 21 72-inch monitors. The video wall is used by staff to monitor all traffic and all incidents on the NTTA roadway systems.
So kind of for people of a certain age, it's kind of like what a drive-in theater used to be. You'd go and there'd be a giant screen and you'd watch what happens on there, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you look at that screen, is it one big picture or are you looking at multiple cameras, and how can you manipulate it? Picture in picture is a fun thing for sports fans. Do you have something like that at the SOC?
Yes, sir. We have a program that we can manipulate the wall. And what we do is we put the incident on what we call is a 4x4 panel. And then we put all the traffic back up around that incident so we can monitor it and also send out notifications advising key personnel and the public of what the backup is that affects their travel.
When we're on the roads, we see those overhead signboards, the message boards. Are they connected to the SOC? How do they work?
Yes, sir. Once we, if we have any kind of crash that's obstructing a lane of travel, or if there's debris in a lane of travel, one of my staff will basically, they will put the message up on the board to alert customers of the danger ahead.
Well, that's a good service. I know a lot of people rely on that. And we also track travel time. We tell people what to expect on the road, right?
Yes, sir. The travel times are posted to alert people how long it'll take them to get to certain points and cross points on the roadway.
Yeah, Michael, those travel times are updated about every minute or two. So they're automatically updated through the sensors on the roadway we have that are basically taking samples of speeds and measuring the distance between two points in the speeds of samples of vehicles. So about every 2 minutes they update. And we try to give you a range, just to give you some ability to plan for the next cross street. And, especially on a normal commute, you kind of know, when I get on the roadway, if my travel time says 8 to 10 minutes, I know it's going to be my normal commute. If it starts to show longer, I could take a different route or take a different exit, knowing that it happens, before the exit I need potentially.
Yeah. Information is always key when you're out on the roadway, and better to have more of it than not. When you talk about innovation on the roadway and the SOC, what are some other things that camera systems allow you to do? How many cameras are out there, and can you see most of the roads? How does that all work out?
Currently, we have approximately 2,200 cameras that are monitored within the Safety Operations Center. We have something that is not common in most other traffic management centers, is our camera system allows us and alerts to stalled vehicles that are in a lane or on a shoulder, so we can send Kareem's team, the roadside safety service people, two incidents on the roadway, and they don't even know help is coming.
Well, that's great to know. If it gets there before other people even know about it, that's wonderful.
But Michael, I would kind of mention to that though, that you did mention coverage, and we do have that wonderful camera system that does alert to, but we're not quite 100% coverage. Certain bridges and sign structures can get in the way and obstruct a view. So if you just happen to park just right, we may not see on camera. So that's why we still encourage people to dial that number to the SOC, which is #999, which is three nines, #999 or #999, depending on what generation you are.
Yeah.
Just to make sure we know we're aware of you. We could be sending help on the way. But we still encourage that #999, and we hope that people driving by you need, if they see you, they will please call #999. Or if you see somebody else on the road, please call #999. So I did want to point out though that camera system is very impressive. If you sit there for more than 30 seconds, it picks up an alert. Or if there's a large debris in the roadway, like a couch or a refrigerator, it'll pick up that and let us know. But there's nothing beats the #999 to get us rolling to something.
Right. And if you can do it voice activation or have a passenger, if available, do it, all the better to safely do that. Tim, you mentioned at the start of this section about the people that we have manning and womaning the dispatch. What are they doing on a daily basis? Are they taking calls from customers, from troopers? How does that all work out?
Yeah, I currently have 36 employees that are assigned to me. 30 of those employees are state licensed telecommunicators that are also responsible for dispatching the Department of Public Safety state troopers to all incidents on the roadways. The various other stations we have is we have certain areas are call takers. We have some one dispatcher that just dispatches the roadside safety service personnel. We have a camera position spot, and we have another individual that works Lone Star and also puts messages up on the NTTA Twitter.
Michael, I'd like to point out, he glosses over it. it's unfortunate that they do their job so well that they don't think about what they do every day, but he just said they answer calls. It's not just normal calls. It's not like you're calling about your toll tag and trying to get what your latest bill is or anything like that. These are 911 calls forwarded to us by the other cities. We're what's known as a secondary public safety answering point. So the first 911 call does go to local city, but once they hear it's on our road, they forward it to our dispatchers. And as mentioned, they're licensed telecommunicators. So we are similar to a 911 dispatch center in that fact that we are getting those calls. We just also have the other traffic technology that we deal with too to help move traffic. So Tim and Kareem, you'll find through this podcast, are very humble and just kind of say, hey, yeah, we do this. I hope I'm not interrupting as I kind of brag on them, because as part of my team, I do want to let people know that they do a pretty impressive job.
Yeah, we know it's certainly stressful being on the other end of that line in ways that we really can't even imagine. You mentioned Kareem. He's been very quiet, very patient. Let's go from inside the SOC to out on the roadway. Kareem, that's where you help people. Tell us what you do basically to keep drivers safe.
Well, a little over 11 years ago, NTTA created the Roadside Safety Services Program. This program had the specific intent to keep traffic flowing smoothly and safely across our system. We do that or accomplish this task in two distinct different ways. We have our incident management side, to where our operators, they're out there, they're removing hazards from the roadway. They're patrolling the roadways, checking for stranded motorists. They're doing, responding to crashes. They're doing everything they can to mitigate traffic backup and to keep traffic flowing. Their number one goal is safety, and these are the ways they accomplish it. Our second side of that is our free roadside assistance program. We instituted this program because we realized that anybody stopped on the shoulder of a roadway is pretty much a danger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just because you're on a shoulder doesn't mean you're safe. You still have traffic flowing by you at very high speeds, and all it takes is a distracted driver for an incident to occur. So we realized that, for one, this is a safety, not only for the individual that's stranded, but for the traveling public. So we offer this free assistance program so that you can call us and we will come out. We will do our best to get you off that roadway and out of danger. That way you can continue on with your day safely. We also are very proactive here. So we don't sit around and just wait for a phone call. We actually patrol and we look for you.
I've seen the trucks out there on the road, and they're pretty easy to identify. And that's a good feeling when we see you out there to know that somebody is watching over our safety, even if we're just having a normal day. But it's that reassurance to see the vehicles out on the road.
Oh, definitely. Just last year alone, we did over 45,000 calls. Okay, that pretty much means because we're proactive, that means we prevented over 45,000 potential crashes by removing debris, by helping people get off the roadway, by removing the danger from the roadway system. Overall, since NTTA, Roadside Safety Service Program, has been in existence, we've done 90,000 debris calls, which is removing objects from the lane of traffic, and we've done over 200,000 motorist assists.
When you say debris, what are some of the things that you've seen? I think we've all come upon ladders and things, but have you seen any odd items? What makes up the category of debris on the roadway?
One day we had a phone call, 911 calls coming into the center of a train derailment on George Bush over there off of Highway 78. Knowing our center knows that over in that area there is some train tracks, so we started a protocol for a train derailment. So we started getting a hold of the traffic engineers, getting a hold of maintenance, RSS, dispatch and DPS troopers, all of that location. And then all of a sudden our camera person turns around and says, it's not a train derailment. It's a amusement park train for kids that slid off the back of a trailer. And they were all laying on the roadway. So we had the engine, the caboose and two cars. And
well, I guess that is a train derailment after all. So you responded to a kind of a different situation than a train derailment.
Correct. Yeah, didn't your team on that one have to tow a train off the roadway?
That's right. We have a safety recovery vehicle program that we also operate. And we can actually tow customers off of the roadway into a safe parking lot. Well, on that particular call, we had to tow the train off the roadway so that we can keep traffic flowing smoothly through there.
Just imagine the SOC looking up on that big video wall, Michael, and seeing an one of our safety recovery vehicles have a train in tow as they're tooting down the road trying to get it off to the side so the person could get it back on their trailer and get back to whatever event they were trying to go to.
And now you have honorary train engineer on your resume as well. So that's it's a well-rounded incident.
Oh, yeah. I know that our SRV operator, he's proud to tell everybody, hey, I towed a train.
And one thing that I would like to stress on this is the callers is the importance of the details when they're communicating exactly what the incident is. Because, I mean, we had a lot of resources that we were notifying to head that way. So the importance of the details from the callers is very important.
And that kind of circles back to what you were saying earlier about the dispatchers and the stress and the fact that they, when they pick up that phone, they never know what they're going to hear on the other end of that line.
Out at Louisville Lake Toll Bridge, we ended up with we got a call about a boat hitting the bridge. And of course that fires up everybody again. Once again, turning around the cameras, it come to find out somebody's, brand new yacht that was being shipped to the marina fell off the back of the truck and landed on top of the bridge. So we had a boat on the bridge as well. So we had an honorary boat captain helping shove that back up onto a trailer.
I do know that our RSS folks get a lot of commendations from drivers they help. I see them come into the office, and people are really, really very thankful when they're helped on a 70-mile-an-hour roadway. Which brings us to the drivers, our customers themselves. What can they do to help us help them, if you will? What can they do to stay safe on the road?
Well, first and foremost, I would tell everybody, before you get on any roadway system, please, please, please check your tires, check your fluids in your vehicle, make sure you have enough fuel to get to your destination. I mean, that's the very first step you should do. Make sure your car is roadworthy before you do. And if you get on a roadway and just so happens you do have a breakdown, please call, if you're on NTTA roadway system, dial #999. Regardless of whether it's something you think you can take care of yourself, give us a call. We'll sit behind you. We'll help protect you from any incidents that occur while you take care of your vehicle. And we're more than happy to do what we can to help you out and get you on a roadway as quickly as possible.
Eric, the subject of distracted drivers seems to be more and more of issue as we get into our plugged-in society that we live in. What are you seeing on that front, and what do you recommend for folks?
Oh, well, I first of all recommend, you know, the old saying, phones down, eyes up. A lot of people don't realize how bad they drive. They think they can handle it. And if you sound familiar, it sounds just like a drunk driver, right? I've only had a few beers. I'm only going to send a short text. In both cases, they cause you to drive erratically and put danger in others. We've mentioned our roadside safety service. They are 24/7, 365. So they are out there every minute of the day along the roadway. And all they have is a truck. So one of the key things for us is not only are customers not hitting other customers, we don't want you hitting our staff, because they are out there trying to help others that are having a bad day. And texting and driving, distracted driving, and drinking and driving make that worse, because you are a hazard. We are an unknown. We've talked about debris in the roadway. We've had, you know, a refrigerator in the roadway, and we're stopping to push it out of the way, and we've been struck from behind, and it was nobody, but it was not a drunk driver. They were on their phone and admitted. I was sending a text. I looked down just to write a text for a second. They slammed into the back of our truck. Thankfully, our driver was safe, and they were uninjured. But our truck was totaled and their truck was totaled. So even though you're okay in that situation, dealing with insurance companies is no fun. So distracted driving is a big deal to us, not only for our customer safety. We don't want you running into each other, because part of what we've already talked about is us preventing crashes altogether. But we for sure don't want you running into our staff that's out there trying to either maintain the roadway so you've got a safe roadway, or helping other customers that were not as fortunate and had a flat tire or ran out of gas.
And I know that I've seen on the NTTA website, the Red Thumb program is interesting. I know we reach out to people and encourage them to do something kind of fun, but it's for a serious reason, right?
Oh, absolutely. So the Red Thumb campaign basically was started, and we've been doing it for years now. We didn't start it. We joined in on it. But it's a good thing. Basically, it's a little red band you put on your thumb. So it's a little reminder that if you do grab your phone and start to pull your phone up towards your face when you're driving, you see that red band on your thumb and go, wait a minute. No, I shouldn't do this. It can wait. And I know that it's just so quick. It's like, hey, I just want to read that text really fast. It's just a line or two. But that red band, you'll look down and it says wait to text on it. Hopefully it'll give you that little visual reminder. If you don't want to wear the red band all the time, you'll see mine. I've got it in my truck. I've got it right there on my dashboard where the speed limit is, just as a reminder to me. If you can't put your phone in the back seat, that's even a better idea. You can't even get to it and can't reach it. And just let folks know, hey, I'm driving. I'm not going to be able to get back to you. But our Red Thumb campaign, you don't have to wear it all the time. Just leave in your car where you can see it. It's a good reminder.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. A really fascinating look behind the scenes at NTTA. I do want to mention that in episode 2, we're going to talk quite a bit about a topic that is very, very of interest, if you will, to a lot of drivers, media, and the public at large, and that's wrong way driving. But I do want to take some time to explore that in our next episode. So I do want to thank Eric, Tim, and Kareem for joining us today. Valuable information, great takeaway for listeners. We certainly appreciate it. And we thank you out there in podcast land for listening. And again, hope you'll join us for our next podcast episode, and we'll talk about technology, wrong-way driving, etc. Anytime you want to share feedback on what you've heard, suggest other topics, or just say, hey, drop us a line at mrey@ntta.org. That's mrey with an E at ntta.org. So thanks for listening, and we hope you drive safely.